I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles and open, if you would please, to Psalm 143. Psalm 143. We're going to look at several verses this evening, but we're going to start with Psalm 143. And if you look at verse 8, Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. We like to divide the world into twos, right? So we like to think of things like we can divide the world into Christians and non-Christians. That's an easy one. We can divide the world into people that like sushi and people that do not like sushi. I threw that one in for Kihei. We can divide the world into people who are from Indiana and people that wish they were from Indiana. Things like that, right? I should have asked the elders before I came here this evening. I didn't, but I should have asked, does this church like to groan during sermons? You know, some churches, the people shout amen. Some churches, the people get up and clap and maybe even start dancing around. I suppose there's some churches that like to groan during sermons. I don't know if you're one of those, but when I give you our thesis for this evening, probably about half of you are going to want to groan. Because you see, there's another way that we can divide the world up into twos. The world can be divided up into what we call night owls and morning doves. In other words, people that like late night, are energized at night, and then there's those people that really tire out at 7 o'clock, 7:30, and really are energized and excited in the morning. So the world is divided into night owls and morning doves. So here's where you can groan, if you want, if you're accustomed to doing that at least. This morning I told you I was going to give you a very practical step to this idea of having our hearts filled with Jesus. We looked at Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, that we can come and drink freely of the waters of life. So here's a very simple rule. I believe that somehow, if we're going to grow in our closeness to Jesus Christ and experience His filling on a regular basis, here we go, you need to maximize the morning. How many of you want to groan at that kind of a statement? Now, yeah, a few of you raise your hands. My wife would groan at that statement. Now, I realize that there's some of you that, you know, it's the evenings that you're energized and you're excited. That's where you want to do your study. So I think it's fine if you really want to open your heart before God and spend your time in the study of the Word, in devotional reading and in prayer in the evening. I think that's fine. But I do think there's a sense where we need to maximize the morning. About a year ago, I came across this verse in Psalm 143. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. I was kind of challenged by that verse, and as I began thinking and meditating upon it, I began to realize that there's several times in the Psalms that the loving kindness of God and the morning are tied together. And so that's why I believe there's a sense in which we need to maximize the morning if we're going to understand the greatness of God's love for us, if we're going to experience it, if we're going to grow in that idea of being filled by Him. I think scriptures and history both point to this idea. We'll look at some of these verses. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it speaks about Jesus. He had a very busy day teaching and preaching, and His disciples come looking for Him, but it says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, but He arose early in the morning and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. So Jesus spent some time, at least on that morning after a very busy day, spent some time in prayer. Psalm 5, which John read at the beginning of the service this evening, the psalmist says, in the morning I will lift my prayer to you. In the morning I will pray to you and eagerly watch. So it's in the morning that the psalmist began his prayer time. And then he watched throughout the day to see how God was going to answer that prayer. So here's what I want to propose to you this morning. That just as the morning brings freshness and newness, so Christians ought to rejoice in the freshness and newness of God's love each morning. Now I realize, for those of you that are not morning doves, this might be difficult. But I want you to think about, even investing just a few minutes in the morning, even though that may not be your best time of the day. Again, history and scripture point to this. Let me give you a few examples. William Carey, the founder of modern missions, it says in one of his biographies that he walked in the garden of his mission house, the Serampore, and he built an altar out there, which he called his bower. And then it says, there at sunrise, before tea, and at the time of the full moon, when there was the least danger of snakes, he meditated and prayed. And the book which he ceaselessly translated for others was his own source of strength and refreshment. Bertha Smith, the famous missionary to China, tells about going out early in the morning and going out to the haystacks behind where she was living, and she would rake away the frost on the top of the haystacks, and early in the morning she would build a little alcove in the haystack, and that's where she would commune with God through Bible reading and prayer. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this, the best time to converse with God is before worldly occasions stand knocking at the door to be let in. The morning, as it were, the cream of the day. Let the cream be taken off and let God have it. Wind up your heart towards heaven at the beginning of the day, and it will go better all the day after. Let me just give you one more at this time. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, said this, You do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards. Begin the day with the word of God in prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him. So again, whether you're a night owl or morning dove, I think we need to spend at least a little time every day in the morning. I think both history and the scriptures point to this, of rejoicing in the love of God. So let me ask you to follow along with me to a few passages in the Bible where this idea of morning kindness, of the morning and the loving kindness of God are put together. The first one I want us to look at this evening is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Some of you have memorized that verse. The Lord's loving kindnesses never fail. Indeed, they never cease. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. So I believe that from that verse, we can expect the loving kindness of God in the morning. We can expect the loving kindness of God in the morning. Now, that's an easy verse for us to quote, to rejoice in. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. They never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. But I think it's really stunning when we think of where Jeremiah was when he wrote those words. You know, the book of Lamentations was Jeremiah's lament, his wail, his prayer, his cry over the precious Jerusalem. The dear people of God would be taken away into captivity. And some of the records of what happened to them, we would not really want to repeat publicly. The people of God were being taken away. The city was being destroyed. And yet Jeremiah says, the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. They never come to an end. They are new every morning. You all, I'm sure, are familiar with Psalm 136. Every other phrase in that psalm is that the loving kindness of the Lord never fail. and loving kindness, the mercies of God last forever. So we need to expect God's loving kindness in the morning. Do you expect to experience it tomorrow? It will be there because it's new every morning. And it is there to refresh our souls, to give us hope and encouragement so we can expect God's loving kindness in the morning. The next thing I want to share with you is that we can experience God's loving kindness in the morning. And that's the verse that's before us this evening, Psalm 143, verse 8. Let me read it to you again. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. As I said, I was kind of meditating on this verse about a year ago, and I was thinking about that. Well, how do you hear loving kindness? You don't really hear it, do you? But I think the psalmist was trying to remind us and was praying to God that would his loving kindness in the morning be so real to him that he could almost hear it, he could almost taste it, he could almost feel it. We need to experience God's loving kindness in the morning. Every morning. Tomorrow morning. The next morning. The morning after that. I think we need to reassure ourselves of God's loving kindness and experience it every morning. John G. Payton, who was raised in a Reformed Presbyterian home, the missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, what we call today the New Hebrides Islands. He had to bury both his wife and his only child in the same grave on the island of Aniwa. And he slept on top of that grave for three nights to keep the people from the island coming and digging up the grave and cannibalizing the bodies. This is what he wrote about that time, or about that time that he experienced. I was never altogether forsaken. The ever merciful Lord sustained me to lay the precious dust of my loved ones in the same quiet grave. But for Jesus and the fellowship he vouchsafes for me there, I must have gone mad and died beside that lonely grave. You see, as he was sleeping on the grave of his wife and his child, he experienced the love of God in a very tangible way. He may have heard it. He may have tasted it. He may have felt it. But you see, every morning we can experience the love of God. Listen to what the prophet Hosea says. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Listen to those adjectives that God is saying he's going to use to bind us to him, to betroth us to him, righteousness, justice, loving kindness, compassion, faithfulness. We're to experience the Lord's loving kindness every morning. If you want to turn, the next one is in Psalm 92. You can turn there if you want, Psalm 92 and verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing your praises, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. So you see, we're to expect God's love in the morning, we're to experience God's love in the morning, and we're to expound God's love in the morning. It says, I declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. It's a good thing to do that. It's a good thing to meditate, to proclaim, to talk about God's loving kindness in the morning. In the morning, we mention and we rejoice in God's loving kindness. And then in the evening, we look back in faithfulness to see how God has demonstrated his love to us because he's been faithful to us. So for you that are the night owls, here's something for you. It's good for you at night. Good for the rest of us as well. But it's good for us at night to review the day, to think about how we saw God's loving kindness, to think about meetings that we might have been in, or people that we to whom we might have been talking, or opportunities for service that we might have had. And we think about those, and we, dare I say, discuss them with God. Say, thank you for that opportunity, or Lord, I wish I could have had the wisdom at that particular time. You see, it's good for us to proclaim the Lord's loving kindness in the morning and to proclaim His faithfulness at night. Look with me, if you would, please, at Psalm 145. If you would just turn with me there, please. Psalm 145. We'll just look at a couple of verses here. I want us to look at verse 6. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. And then look at, well, we'll just keep going. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and I will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. You see this idea that the psalmist here is expounding. He's talking about the great love that God has for His people. Great is God's love for His people. I don't know if you're like us, but a psalm that I like to sing is Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 3 says that God's loving kindness is better than life. God's loving kindness is better than life. We need to think about, we need to talk about, we need to expound, we need to meditate upon God's great love for His people. You are, I'm sure, all familiar with Ephesians 2, where it talks about us being dead in sin, enslaved to sin, condemned by sin. But then verse 4, but God, because of the great love which He has towards us, has caused us to be born again and seated with Him in the heavenly places. You see, it's God's great love that we need to expound and proclaim and rejoice in. We need to experience God's love in the morning. We need to talk about it. Isaiah 63 says this, I will make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has granted them according to His compassion, and according to the abundance of His loving kindness. For He said, surely they are my people, the sons who will not deal falsely. So He became their Savior. Again, the prophet doing the same thing that the psalmist is doing. He's expounding and proclaiming the great love of God. So we need to expound the great love of God. My wife was the one that pointed this next one out to me. It was from Psalm 59. So if you want to turn back to Psalm 59, we sang it here just a minute ago. But Psalm 59. And look at verses 16 and 17. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For God is my stronghold, the one who has shown me loving kindness. We need to exalt in God's loving kindness in the morning. So we need to expect it. We need to experience it. We need to expound it. We need to exalt in it. The psalmist here says that he's joyfully going to do this. I will joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. We need to exalt in this great love that God has for us. Even in the midst of difficulties, you read through the whole psalm and there's difficulties here. But yet his conclusion is that I will sing joyfully of your loving kindness in the morning. Are you going to be able to do that tomorrow morning? I mentioned to you just this morning that a quote from George Mueller. Let me give you a little bit of background behind the quote. Now, George Mueller is one of my heroes in life. Those of you from Pittsburgh, sorry, you already know that point. George Mueller ran orphanages in Bristol, England, in the 1800s. And he ran those orphanages not primarily to care for the orphans, although that was a real burden. Orphans just walking the street was a big issue during those days. But he started these orphanages mainly to show a watching world that there was a faithful God who heard and answered believing prayer. The ministry that George Mueller had was worldwide. It touched many, many places across the world. But one day he was talking to some young Christians, and one of the questions they asked him was, what's the most important thing to do as a Christian? Now, George Mueller read through the Bible over 200 times in his life. 80 of those times he read through the Bible while on his knees. In his journals, he records 50,000, somebody went back and counted them, 50,000 specific answers to prayer. Those are just the ones he recorded. So let's say he kept his journal for 50 years, probably kept it for longer than that, but just for math purposes, let's say that he kept it for 50 years. That's basically every day he recorded 3 specific answers to prayer. So when the young Christians asked George Mueller, what's the most important thing about the Christian life? If I had been there, I would have thought that George Mueller was going to say to us something about the importance of the word for our lives. And certainly we know that. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I talk about that. Or I would have thought that George Mueller would have said something about prayer. But this is what he said. The first and primary business to which a person ought to attain each morning is to make sure that their soul is happy in the Lord. I think we do that as we think about God's loving kindness. That our souls become happy in the Lord. That we expect it and we experience it. We expound it. We exalt in it. Every day to make sure that our souls are happy in the Lord. Now, let me again give you, for those of you that are consider yourself night owls, let me just give you a very practical thing. Robert Morgan, in one of his books, talks about meeting with a man who was struggling in his devotional life and really in his life in general. And he challenged him to take 15 minutes. And this is what he said. I want you to take 15 minutes, quarter of an hour, using your watch. I want you to read your Bible for 5 minutes, pray for 5 minutes, and use the last 5 minutes to plan out your day. It sounds legalistic, but try this continually for 1 month. Keep that time uninterrupted and tell me how it works. So for those of you that dread the mornings, I just want to tell you to take a few minutes. You can have more time of devotion with the Lord, more time of Bible reading and prayer when you're more active, more engaged, more alert. But again, it's like Hudson Taylor said, we don't listen to the concert and then tune our instruments. We tune our instruments and then have the concert. So this is what the man said after a month. He said this, I've been doing what you suggested. It worked. I feel better connected with the Lord, more at peace with myself, more and more in charge of my day. I can't believe the difference a quarter of an hour can make. So again, for those of you that are the night owls, I believe it's important for us to somehow just squeeze in a few minutes. Maybe we're not the most alert. Maybe we're not the most conscious. Maybe we're still 3/4 of the way asleep. But still, it's important for us to connect with the loving kindness of God in the morning. So, here's a few opportunities that we looked at this evening to talk about God's loving kindness in the morning. how they're connected. I want to close with 1 John chapter 3. This is something that if you don't have a way to think about God's loving kindness tomorrow morning or a Thursday morning, here's a verse you can meditate upon. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. If you don't have some other way to connect with the loving kindness of God in the morning, perhaps tomorrow morning, take out your Bibles and read and meditate on 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Connect with the loving kindness of God in the morning.
This sermon was preached at Southside Reformed Presbyterian Church. If you'd like more information about the church or to listen to more sermons preached here, visit our website at www.southsiderp.org. Thank you for listening.